1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The G7 leaders continue meeting in Italy. Pope Francis has now arrived at the gathering. In a few hours, he will become the first pope to address the body. The Supreme Court rejecting a request to overturn the FDA's declaration of mifepristone as safe, the drug used in the majority of the country's abortions.
The ruling keeps mifepristone available by mail in most states where abortion is legal. In other words, status quo, which Vice President Harris says is not reason to celebrate.
We are looking at the fact that two-thirds of women of reproductive age in America live in a state with a Trump abortion ban.
It's been 2 years since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. In Congress, the issue has expanded to include access to contraception and IVF.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. Today, we could get a ruling on whether presidents should have absolute immunity over prosecution. Rain continuing to fall in South Florida. Some parts of the state, including an area south of Fort Lauderdale and another south of Tampa, getting 20 inches of rain yesterday. This is ABC News. Another FAA investigation into Boeing, this time around the 787 Dreamliners. Boeing admitting hundreds of fasteners on planes under construction may have been improperly installed. Another day of decisions from the Supreme Court this morning possible, with several big cases still outstanding. ABC's Brian Clark says one centers on the add-ons for guns, known as bump stocks.
Private ownership of a machine gun is illegal in the U.S. That dates back to 1934's National Firearms Act. The question for the court was whether bump stocks, devices that allow for rapid fire with one trigger pull, are illegal. During April's oral argument, Justice Kavanaugh warned of a possible consequence if they were.
That's going to ensnare a lot of people who are not aware of the legal prohibition.
Bump stocks were outlawed in 2018 after they were used in the Las Vegas shooting. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Florida Panthers, now just one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. They topped the Oilers 4-3 last night. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college is closing in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh is closing its Fox Cities campus a year from now. Enrollment has dropped by nearly two-thirds over the past decade. UW System Schools have closed four other two-year branch campuses since last year. The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, visited Green Bay Thursday, launching the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. Democrats are courting elderly voters by highlighting the contrast between their administration and former President Donald Trump's stance on issues important to seniors. Jill Biden says age is not the issue in this election.
But what this election is about, it's about the character of the person leading our country. It's about finishing the job you started.
Polls are showing Biden and Trump are neck and neck in popularity among Wisconsin voters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers signed their number one pick. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have signed offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. That means all of the team's 11 picks from this year's draft class have now been signed. Now another former first-round pick awaits a new contract, quarterback Jordan Love. The market value went up again. Last night, the Jacksonville Jaguars signing quarterback Trevor Lawrence to a five-year deal worth $275 million, $200 million guaranteed. The 24-year-old Lawrence given $142 million of that. after signing. Baseball, AmFam Field. The Brewers open a 3-game weekend series tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. Milwaukee remains in first place in the NL Central, followed by the Cardinals. The third-place Reds trail by 7 games. NBA, the Boston Celtics could win it all tonight in the NBA Finals.
From game to game or series to series, we always like want more. Even now, up 3-0. We still feel like it's a lot more that we can do. It's a lot more that we want to do.
That's the Celtics' Jason Tatum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-70s. Mostly clear tonight and mid-50s. Increasing clouds, 77 on your Saturday. A few showers and thunderstorms Saturday night, a low around 64. It will be breezy. 85 and partly sunny with a chance of storm Sunday.
It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show, Matt Rothschild's filling in. Biden Top 100 boosting mental health in schools. We also have Luann Bird and Kristen Hanson.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. It is the final day of the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win Statewide Contest on WGBW and WISS. This is your chance to win a Wisconsin Dells prize package, Milwaukee Brewers club level seats, and be a finalist for grand prizes that include staycation to Door County, Fort Atkinson, or Lake Geneva.
All right, and this hour's keyword is cheese. C-H-E-E-S-E. Cheese. That's the keyword. Download the Civic Media app in Apple or Google stores, choose WISS or WGBW, and use the text button to send the keyword cheese for your chance to win these statewide prizes.
That's right. Again, the keyword is cheese. Find WGBW or WISS in the Civic Media app and use the text button to send right now. You have until the end of the hour, and your next chance to play is coming up over 9 with Earl Ingram. Good luck.
All right. And by the way, one more plug on that, Johnny, because... Yeah. This we kind of compete with other stations too,
yes,
on this.
So we want to win.
We do.
We're tired of coming in second. I know what you're all saying. Ooh, you guys came in second. You're first losers. Congratulations. Why don't you just get a participation trophy?
I know, right? No, we just really, this is so easy, Mark, to do. You just download the app, and a lot of people have downloaded it already, and just, you know.
By the way, we got
cheese.
Father's Day.
Oh, yeah,
up. Mark. We'll talk about great Father's Day songs. This is my favorite Father's Day type song of all time.
Is that Daddy?
No.
No, I played that earlier.
I know you did.
I'm going to introduce Todd. Oh. Did you find it?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Father's Day, Tom T. Hall, Homecoming.
I guess I should have written that to let you know that I was coming home. But I've been gone so many years, I didn't realize you had a phone.
It's not harmony. It's just awesome.
I saw your cattle coming in. Boy, they're looking mighty fat and slick.
I never heard the song.
Saw Fred at the service station. Told me that his wife was awfully sick.
You people who like this song would find this a little annoying.
You heard my record on the radio. Oh, it's just another song that I've got to hit recording. It'll be out on the market for too long.
I got puts in the face.
I got this ring in Mexico. No, it didn't cost me quite a bunch.
Get to the point.
When you're in the business that I'm in, people call it putting up a front. I know I've lost a little weight. I guess I'm looking kind of pale.
I think I just read a book.
If you didn't know me better, Dad, you'd probably think I was running out of jail.
No, we don't ever call them
beer joints. Nightclubs are the places that I work.
Mark, do you ever feel like just slitting your wrist?
You meet a lot of people there, but no, there ain't no chance of getting hurt.
Okay, what is this about?
It's about him going back.
Got that out here.
Listen.
Song.
When Mama passed away.
There's no chorus.
I was on the road, and when they came and told me it was just too late.
Listen.
Okay, now I can listen. Thank you.
I drove by the grave to see her, boy, that really is pretty stone. I'm glad that Fred and Jan are here. It's better than you being here alone.
Tom T. Hall, Homecoming, one of the all-time great father
songs. Is this the chorus now?
Well, I knew you was going
to
ask me who the lady was that's sleeping in my car.
That's a story.
It's poetry. It's musical poetry.
Usually you sing, and you tell a story, then you go to a chorus, like, let's all gather around the gravestone.
It's about a guy, a musician, trying to make it in the business, and he's on the road all the time.
I get it.
And he didn't even know that his mom died, because they couldn't get a hold of him. So he goes back to visit his dad, who he hasn't seen in years and years and years, and he visits him, and it's the homecoming. And so he goes back to visit his dad after, like, 20 years.
I'm fine with the storyline, but... Usually in music, Johnny, they do a stanza and then they go to a chorus. So you kind of like know what it's about. Like, oh, let's all gather around mom's gravestone or something. You know,
Tom T. Hall doesn't need a chorus. He's Tom T. Hall. My God.
That was boring.
That was not boring. Look, I got good. Okay. Great Father's Day song. There's another one. That's My Job, Conway Twitty. People loved that song.
They listened to that song, John and his dad, when they went fishing.
Yes! There you go. Absolutely.
Without a license, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That reminds me of fishing. Just super boring. All right. So, hey, happy Father's
Day.
Wow. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, Mark. Hi there.
How are you doing, buddy?
Happy Father's Day to you guys.
Yeah.
I got to ask this first of all, for my brother's sake, what do you do for sciatica?
Oh, yeah.
With brother's sake. That's such... It's for him. It's always... Okay, go ahead. But, yeah... Okay.
John, well, I said we're going to go from head to toe with John.
Yeah.
We'll have all of his ailments taken care of.
You're never going to get past that.
I'll tell you what, you've seen this. When I get gout in my toe, I'm disabled. You saw it, Mark. Remember the press box in Denver? I had to do the game without my shoe on. I had to walk through the parking lot after the game holding my shoe.
I was with Ted the other night, and we talked about that.
Wow.
Sciatica. Okay. Sciatica. It's nerve related, you know. So that nerve is like the size of your pinky.
Oh, it's that big of a
nerve. Yeah, it's a big nerve. It's maybe not that big, but I mean, it's a big nerve. But it gets, you know, what happens is it gets pinched off, or it's kind of pinched. So that's why you get that numbness, or you get different feelings down your leg.
The sharp pains down the back of your butt, basically.
Yeah, you get numbness. Yeah. So
what's pinching it off? Your spine?
No, there's a big muscle.
Oh.
And so it's a matter of stretching. There's a great...
Is there a way to prevent it?
Right.
Flexibility. I mean, you know what? After this last year, it's great because Jim was talking about it. I think it doesn't matter if you're a gardener. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete. It doesn't matter if you're just a weekend warrior. You know, 8 minutes of stretching a little bit before and after exercise, that's one of the best ways you can just help prevent some of this stuff.
So I work out, right? I really do. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And the guy said, you know, are you sore? I'm never sore, but we spend the last 10 minutes. I wish we'd spend the whole hour, but just stretching. And that really helps. Before, we do it 5 minutes, but it's pretty quick. But then after, it's a little bit longer.
And I'm out here preaching this stuff. Here's a great example. Last night, I'm like, okay, trying to get healthier, you know, and I'm out walking. And I'm at a pretty good clip. I hate running. I'll be honest with you. My wife knows this. But it's at a pretty good clip. But I realized my shins, I was developing shin splints because... Ooh. I'm like,
those hurt.
I'm like, I was getting too quick at my pace. So I literally, on the sidewalk, stopped, stretched, and finished the last 15 minutes, you know, of my walk. But if I don't do that, a lot of times, I do come home, you know, I grab a water and I'll sit on the deck. That's not the best thing. You know, it's how do you cool down that way?
Don't they say that, you get a physical trainer. Mm-hmm. Don't they say that one of the most important things is, everybody talks about stretching before you work out, but don't they say one of the best things is to stretch, like, for your last thing?
Yeah, that's what we do. It's the last 10 minutes of stretching. And just, you talk about the shin splints, and I hate those. That I think that is so painful. And there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you just wait it out.
Yeah,
but after I run or do the steps, I just get on the steps and just do those like toe raises. And you do that for like a minute. And it's like there's no soreness.
And that's the thing about it. The stretching that we're talking about, it's probably even maybe a better way to say it. It's just taking your body parts through movements.
Right.
You don't even. It's
you don't
just,
need any equipment.
No, you just. It's just moving the body part to say, hey, you've now worked for the last hour, half an hour, 10 minutes. I don't care what it is. Just take a few minutes to say, all right, we got to cool down.
Right.
You know, if someone goes out and runs or is active, just going on the last two blocks and just walking would help you
the
out.
Cool down is
the
so...
problem is sometimes like runners will come back and say, well, I got my 5 miles in, but you ran right up till you walked in your door. You jumped in the shower, you got dressed and you went right to work, you know, and then you maybe sat in a chair.
Well, people do that. No, but that stretching, all I want to say is how it's just a matter of time because it's not difficult and it's not, you don't need any equipment to stretch. That's the good thing about it. So,
and there's, trust me, there is great technology out there. You know, we have, they have now these recovery labs and air that will push in and try to push swelling and help out your legs. They're big, it's almost like a putting a bag over your legs and you can do them with your arms and it. They call them recovery labs.
Like the Michelin Man stuff?
Yeah. It's
I've
one
never
of
heard of these, to be
honest.
Yeah, either.
I mean, it's, you know, it's, they get inflated and it does help. You know, you can elevate your legs and there's compression, but it's one of those things of just go
Come
for a
on.
Walk. You
right.
know, like, or like Jim said, just moving your legs up and down, just moving those body parts afterwards. You're like, okay, it's the same thing. Like,
does that something to do with the lactic acid? Correct.
We talked about this at one point, like pitchers. Pitchers, if you realize what a major league pitcher, they come off after five innings, six innings. They're now going to go in. Most people think, oh, they just went in ice. No, you can go sit in your dugout for the rest of that half inning. They go in and probably get on a bike and now ride because you're trying to flush that lactic acid. You've worked your arms so hard, but it gets sore, so you need to flush it.
Jim Abbott. Remember Jim Abbott, the pitcher with the one hand?
Yep.
And I read his book, and he actually, what do you got? He was in the American League, then was in the National, whatever. But he used to go jogging if he got pulled out just to run it off.
When
so
I really, so I did.
But, one time he got lost. He was in a city. It's like, holy crap, I am completely lost. I have no money. I'm in shorts. And he got lost. But he said he would jog for a long time after he pitched.
So when I did some work with the Milwaukee Brewers minor league club system when their Class A was in Beloit.
Oh.
Those guys at that level, you got fined. If you went in and went in and just showered, you was a $100 fine.
Wow.
So it was
for a minor leaguer. That's
correct. So it was a matter of biking. They had exercises they had to do. After you get all that stuff done, then they can ice their elbow or their shoulder. Hmm. So again, for your common folk who's listening to the show, you know, let's say you're working your shoulder a lot on a weekend. Yes, you may need to stretch it. You know, just basics.
That
basic movements.
Do that all the time. Yeah. That means it over the. No, we would do over the arm. What Mark is showing us, you can't see.
But it's one of those things, too.
Okay, okay.
90% of us would, when you're done working out, you say,
grab a beer.
You know what I mean? And
we all joke about it. Hey, isn't that ice on the inside?
Now that I become a cyclist.
He went once and got a ticket, turned around. So, okay.
Okay.
Cyclist.
You're going to go twice?
Yeah.
So anyway, but you know what? On my phone, I didn't have my pedometer with me.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Jim told me
I did.
Those won't count as footsteps. But on my phone, I can show you, it said, congratulations, you got 10,000 steps. Is biking as good as walking or running?
No, it's not the same. I was really surprised when he said that because your doctor might say, look, you need to get at least 8,000 steps. He goes on a bike ride, which is kind of that's not jogging or walking.
It's a matter of your intensity that you're getting.
Oh, I was intense.
Jeez.
I can show you, though. It said 10,000 steps.
That surprised me. And it wasn't on his ankle. He didn't put his phone on his ankle. It was like it's just in his
pocket.
Well,
I couldn't because I got that other thing on my ankle.
What?
House arrest thing.
The monitor, yeah.
We got a center quick break. Mark Houston in the house. We're talking to the Flukies in New York. Stay with us.
So I made my way down the mirrored hall and tapped up on his door.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Many people with unique homes reach out to Pella because our team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era.
I love that I have a home that's 100 years old. It's a historic district, and we didn't want to ruin the look by having modern windows in an older home. When I found out that Pella had an architecturally accurate product line, they simply guided us and helped us to make a great decision for our home.
Order today and get 0% interest for up to 48 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Certain restrictions apply at 6/30/2024.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I said I could make it out there if I just had the fare. I got half, will you loan me the rest? And I said, Daddy, I'm so afraid there's no guarantee in the plans I've made.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here with Mark Houston from Bell and Sports Medicine. Do we have Peter and Tracy on? Peter and Tracy Flukey from the Big Apple, New York City. Congratulations.
You made it.
How are you guys doing?
Woo-hoo! Yes, we made it. We're a bit tired, but we're glad to be done and had a great experience.
Did you finish with a sprint? Because we were kind of watching you. We were thinking, oh, geez, you know.
We were all
happy
concerned
4th of July,
first few days.
Right? And we were.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're there. What did you?
Yeah, you know. I think mentally that kind of is how it goes, because every day we kind of just get up and go for a bike ride. And then one day you go, oh my, we're only, you know, 100 miles, right. We're only 60 miles.
Right.
But yesterday we planned a really short day because we knew we had to navigate the George Washington Bridge and city traffic. So we got up late and only did 17 miles yesterday, which was a great plan.
That's how do you guys feel? Because I've got Mark Houston here right now, and we're talking about, you know, myself getting to be a competitive cyclist, and Mark, we're talking about the difference between running and cycling and things like that. Mark, what questions would you have for them?
Well, Peter and Tracy, congratulations.
That's terrific.
It's awesome. I was watching the video of you guys going across the bridge, but like we were just talking about this. It doesn't matter if it's for you guys or if it's someone who's just starting as a cyclist like John is. What do you guys do when you guys get off the bike? What are your first two or three things you guys do to help you recover?
Yeah, well, thanks much to Lee Herkus from Bell and our sports nutritionist. Literally, the first thing that we do when we roll in town, we try to find ourselves a convenience store and get ourselves a really good snack of high protein, because all day long we've been burning carbohydrates, that quick energy fuel that we need to keep going. But we've also been tearing down muscle, and we need to rebuild that as quickly as we possibly can. So I'm a huge fan of chocolate milk. So that's my reward at the end of the day, if I can find it.
So you guys do post workout, post ride. You're taking care of your body instead of just like collapsing on your cot or something like that.
And drinking beer.
Yeah, exactly. As Peter said, we stop and get the protein on board, and then we, you know, continue into where we're staying, whether it's camping or warm showering or going to a hotel for the night. And then, you know, just relaxing a bit and then stretching out and, you know, kind of getting back on our feet and moving a bit and maybe going for a walk and getting a good dinner as well.
That's exactly what Mark was just talking about, what you need to do.
And I don't know if you guys heard it was, we were just trying to say, keep it simple. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the weekend warrior, if you're just starting out, or if you're someone like you guys, competitive cyclist. Just keep it simple.
But they didn't bring a chamber. They did it. It was just their own body. And
I think the other thing, I think Tracy just said it. It's just eat, or one of them, Peter or Tracy said it. Chocolate milk.
Yeah.
It's one of the most simplest things to replenish a body and help it out. It's not saying that they're having a gallon either. You know, I mean,
John? No.
Yeah.
The other thing that I use in my mind to keep me going is I think about the fact of what I eat today isn't really about today. It's about what I'll be able to do tomorrow. So having that kind of longer time frame in my head of my nutrition really seems to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Wow.
But can you use it? Because there's a train of thought that I would have. Well, it would be like, okay, I just biked 40 miles. I'm doing 40 miles tomorrow. I can eat a pizza tonight and have six beers or whatever because I'm going to burn it all off. But you guys don't approach it that way, do you?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay.
That's good.
So one of my ways of, I love those little packs of chocolate covered donuts that you get in the grocery store, and it's got to be one of the most awful foods you could possibly eat. But I had my last pack yesterday on the way in because basically my metabolism's a blast furnace while we're doing these things, so I can get away with that. But we'll start getting away from that pretty soon here.
But that's what I was talking about. Yeah, it just because you know it's just fuel. It's going to be burnt up. That's how I live.
Okay, John went 2 miles and got a ticket. So
Did you guys hear about that? We'll
build on his story.
I heard about that, and John, I must say, as the president of the Friends of the Fox River Trail, I am very disturbed with that. You need to get a pass.
Tracy, you're an elected person. You highlight customer service. This was really wrong what happened. I mean, this is just, there's, anyway, yeah, I'm glad. And that's right, you are the president of Fox River Trail. So,
I am, yes.
Hey, just for clarification, technically that wouldn't be a ticket yet, right? If he purchases a new one within a period of time, then he is, all sins are forgiven.
Nope, they still give him a $10 citation.
I got a citation. I got to pay $35 within 5 days.
And 25 is the ticket. 25 is the pass and 10 is the ticket.
Or I think they put one of those big boots on my bike.
Yeah.
Which that means John is not biking for the rest of this year.
Yeah,
it was a short biking career.
So, how many miles did you guys go? What is the total?
We had a total of 1,573 miles, and it took us 29 days, including our days off. We had about 5 days that we took off the bike, that we just stayed in wherever we were, and we averaged about 54 miles a day. I guess we're getting a little older. Our average went down a bit.
Come on, pick it up.
Slackers. No wonder it took you so damn long. I made it in two weeks.
Driving.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're not, but the way back is going to be a little more our style, right?
Yes. We're going to be, we checked into Amtrak. That was our plan, to take Amtrak on the way back. But we just can't get on the train right now. And get a roomette that we would like. So we're going to rent a car and we're going to drive back. So we anticipate getting home by late Monday night.
Awesome.
Terrific.
Congratulations, you guys. You're such an inspiration. Yes. And it's so much fun following along with you guys. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't all roses either. You guys had some tough situations.
We've gotten pretty good about sharing the ugly too. I think probably one of the most gratifying things about this trip though was how many people were following us and just how much they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go into withdrawal here shortly from not biking quite so much. But I think the audience, our audience will probably do that as well, but they can still purchase, shameless plug here, they can still purchase our books, Coast to Coast on a Tandem, or Bicycling Historic Route 66. Those trips were longer. We were fresher. So a lot of the same kind of experiences and some even better ones are in those books.
Outstanding. Wow. Outstanding.
And like Johnny said, you are an inspiration. And I think biking is pretty easy to do, right? It doesn't cost a fortune to buy a bike. And if you buy a pass for $25, which John is learning the hard way, there's so many places to go here, and not everybody has to bike to New York, but I mean, that could be a long-term goal, but I just think you guys are just terrific for what you're doing for the community, and bring some of those ideas back, things you saw along the trail that we could maybe do here in Brown County.
We definitely will. We've seen lots of really good things and lots of things that were not so good that we can share with the community.
Well, we can't wait to get you on as soon as possible when you get back and give you more time to tell the whole story. Mark, any words of wisdom for them?
Rest up. Enjoy that time.
Rest is as important as anything. Hey, can you guys do me a favor? When you guys come back, could you give me the number of your nutritionist?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Absolutely. Otherwise, Mark has it, too.
Oh, yep. You got it, Mark? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It works for you.
Okay, Mark's been coming on here for 6 months, and this is the first time Johnny's asked
for it. I didn't know
you
had nutritionists. You never mentioned
that
before.
He did, too.
No, he didn't. I swear. Did you,
roll
Mark?
The tape, Todd.
Oh.
Yeah,
Mark. He destroyed the tape. Peter and Tracy Flukey, thank you so much. Tim Cody, Fox Valley Lutherans. Fox Valley Lutherans. Fox Valley Veterans coming up next.
Happy Father's Day, you guys.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Give me a choice. Say Lord. I say Christ, I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Lots of red ink across my trading screen this morning. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The exception, the dairy complex. Andy Fallman, broker analyst with EverAg, says that dairy is experiencing a bull market. It's combined with stronger exports as well as pretty strong domestic demand. Oh, and let's not forget the shortage of dairy heifers and dairy cows.
To me, the best bull markets have always been when you have increasing demand. So we've got really good exports, obviously, right? I mean, best we've seen in year-to-date so far here in the last 10 years, but also bull markets have decreasing supply. Decreasing supply, increasing demand. So that, to me, I think it's going to be something that's going to be on the mind of folks that, you know, on the other side of the coin that buy milk to make cheese, right? Like, how much milk are we going to have going forward? Especially, we're supposed to be building milk supplies during April, May, right? I mean, that's a time when you typically start to see percentages of milk go up. So to see them go down year over year, just really interesting.
Andy Fallman, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was up a penny and a quarter, 202 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was up 4.5 at 198 and a quarter. Double A butter, that drifted a penny and a half lower, still at 309 a pound. July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese just now went a penny lower at 21.08. August Class 3 milk closed 49 cents higher, 21.56 a hundredweight. I've got the rest of your markets next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
In overnight trade right now, December corn's down 2 at 474. November soybeans down a nickel at 1155. July new crop wheat down 5.5. Currently 614.5 per bushel. Hey, why don't you sign up for our daily e-newsletter? It's jam-packed with all the information about Wisconsin agriculture you're looking for. Sign up at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-70s. Mostly clear tonight and mid-50s. Increasing clouds, 77 on your Saturday. A few showers and thunderstorms Saturday night, a low around 64. It will be breezy. 85 and partly sunny with a chance of storm Sunday.
Right now, it's 62.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
All this week from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture.
and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't forget, final day of the Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest with WGBW and WISS. It's your shot to win Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, and be a finalist for grand prizes that include a lake house getaway, trip to Door County, or an escape to Lake Geneva. Again, this hour's word to text in right now is the word cheese, C-H-E-E-S-E. Text that in. Download the Civic Media app right now. Choose WISS or WGBEW and text the word cheese, C-H-E-E-S-E. It's your last shot to play along during Mino and the Mayor. Your next shot to play is coming up after 9 o'clock with Earl Ingram. Right now, back to Mino and the Mayor with John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks to the Flukies joining us from New York City. And, of course, Mark Houston, Bell in Sports Medicine. Always great having him here. This time you're brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The guy sitting right next to me will swear by his Pella Windows and Doors.
I will. I didn't know if it was our guest or me. Do you have Pella Windows and Doors?
I don't.
Okay, well, here, let me tell you why you should.
I don't.
So Pella will come out to your house and they'll look at it. They have it, and they'll give you like a computer rendering of this type of window with white wood. What's that called when they have the wood through the, you know, the, like the grid, you know, sometimes those are cool. Cause I have an older home and, like this weekend, not this weekend, next weekend we have, If Houses Could Talk, you know, and they put those signs in front of the historic homes and you walk around and see that. And, people comment on our house, and I like that, but it has to do a lot with the windows and doors. We spent a little bit of money when we bought the house.
We have the realtors in here. Yeah. When we had Deanna and Ben Malker, first thing they said, windows and doors. And
a couple things. One is it really adds curb appeal, which is nice, but what it really does is it reduces your utility cost.
Because
those older homes are, you know, they're nice, but they weren't built like they are today. We don't, it's 100 years later, right? We have a lot more. And good windows and doors. I'm telling you, like $400 a month our utilities dropped, which
amazing.
Is amazing. You know, the windows aren't the cheapest thing, but payback is less than a year anyway.
And if you order today from Pella, get 0% interest for up to 48 months. That will end on the 30th. Visit PellaWI.com today. Right. Tim Cody joining us from Fox Valley Veterans. And I've mentioned this when I saw you were coming in. I personally don't know a human being who spends more amount of their life simply helping veterans the way you do. And that's no lie, Tim. You've devoted your entire life to this, haven't you?
Well, you know, I spent almost 30 years in the Army, active duty, just short of that. And, you know, I retired and was just really searching for that sense of fulfillment that I had serving.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found the Fox Valley Veterans Council, got brought in by the previous president, Jim Strong. And, you know, it fulfills that need. I mean, it really does. And, you know, helping our service members who have at least written their name down on a check, you know, to help its nation. And whether that check is cashed or not, we don't know. But, you know, they've written their name down.
For absolutely.
It. That's awesome that, I mean, you were called to that, right? I know I kind of relate when you were talking. I relate a little bit to having that void after you do something that you so loved and were probably really good at. And then you have that void, and to find something that fulfills your self-worth, but really what you're doing for the veterans across this community is admirable, and there's enough to keep you busy.
Oh yeah, there's enough to keep busy, and it's getting busier every year.
Tim, you know, one of the things too, and watching you guys in action, it can be a huge thing that you help people on, or a really small thing, and you treat both with the same amount of respect and, you know, motivation, whatever you need to do to make that, you know, a better situation. I saw that in action. I think that's pretty cool. Because it'd be easy for you guys to blow off the littler things and take care of the bigger pictures, but you guys don't. And to those veterans you're helping, that what we might think is a little thing, to them could be a huge thing in their life.
Yeah, you never know what's going to be important. And that's both to the veterans we're helping and donors. So I mean, every donor, whether it's a $10 check or, you know, a $50,000 check, gets, you know, personal letters from us thanking them for.
And tell about some of the things that you do for veterans.
Right. All right. So the Fox Valley Veterans Council is a 501c3 charity. Our biggest financial assistance is the Veterans Emergency Fund. And what that does is that helps veterans who are in emergency situations for basic needs. Most of that is really housing. About 65 to 75% of our funding goes to housing. As you know, rent is out of control. Mortgages are difficult to pay for. And we're finding our veterans who have been in a house for an apartment for 10, 15 years, they're now getting priced out of that same place. And they're now on fixed salaries or fixed pensions, and they can't keep up with the inflation. So that's skyrocketing. We also have a dental program that works with Tri-County Dental. And so we help pay for dental care. We pay for utilities. Another big expense is vehicles. So as you know, there was a huge spike for used vehicles. The costs went out of control. So, you know, we're paying for repairs of vehicles that were the value of the vehicle.
Absolutely.
Because they couldn't afford to go buy a used one anymore. And if you don't have a vehicle, really, it's very difficult to have a job, particularly in most places. When you get outside of, you know, in inner city park where you don't have buses, you know, how are you going to go get a job?
Yeah, that's great that you're focusing on the veterans, but what you just went through, those economic.
Jim works at a homeless shelter.
Well, I work at a homeless shelter, sure. But I teach at our local technical college. What you just said is affecting more than just veterans, right? I mean, you're talking about housing, which is crazy for students. It's crazy for people who are trying to get back into society after recovering through or working through a homeless, and the cost. So, and I think we need people like you to help different segments of our community. And those are real things that they're not just focused on veterans. Those are state, world, nationwide issues. And, you know, thank God you're there to help them, because people are getting priced out, and you have that emergency fund, and people need to give to that, because you need to keep these people confident that they're not going to lose their home. They're not going to lose their vehicle, or if they have a vehicle.
And somebody like Tim's organization is the last link between those two things.
Yeah, emergency
Jim
fund.
And I always talk, it is not that big of a leap from being a normal whatever in life to all of a sudden I'm homeless.
Right. That, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it does affect the whole population. What's interesting about veterans is they're about 6.6% across the nation as far as poverty level, but they're 13% in the state of Wisconsin for homelessness. Mm. So why do our veterans have a homelessness issue? Part of it probably can be, you know, some of the issues that some of them will bring back from their service. A pride issue, huge pride issue for a veteran, right? They'd rather live in a car than tell somebody that they're homeless and try to figure it out. So, you know, those are interesting things, you know, that affect across the board our population, but some things will affect different groups. And for some reason, homelessness is affecting our veteran population more.
So we talk to listeners in Oshkosh, Appleton, and Green Bay, and I can speak with a little bit of authority on Green Bay, in that, you know, we do have some veterans living in our shelter, but looking for places to go to, because they, you talk about the issues, and I don't want to get into that, but there's some issues that they have to deal with as well, right? Like all of us. But Johnny's working a fundraiser this weekend for these tiny homes, and it's really not tiny homes. It's more cottage industry. I forgot what the name of it is exactly. It's
Cottage Court.
And it's going to be 21
village for veterans.
And this village is going to have 21 homes, 7 this year. And not that expensive, quite honestly, to build. So anyway, those are things that we got to do. And I didn't know that we were 13%.
We're really excited about this. Yeah. We're really big behind this project.
Yeah, sure.
Here.
Veterans First of New is part of the Fox Valley Veterans Council. They are a member. And I will be meeting their executive director.
Gail?
Right after this.
Gail Nurse. She's awesome. She's tenacious.
She's
wonderful.
We're going to have some pancakes and breakfast afterwards and talk about, hopefully we can set up a memorandum understanding.
I'm in charge of the museum.
Hopefully, we
if
can.
If I raise 75 grand.
that's the caveat.
We can get an agreement. So we like to partner with groups like this. So
awesome.
One of the reasons I joined the Fox Valley Veterans Council is, as you know, there's veteran groups all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
And people tell you all the time, like, I don't even know who to donate to. There's so many of them, right? The Fox Valley Veterans Council is unique in that its members are veteran groups. So it's not individuals. It is a veteran group joins and they send a delegate, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so there's kind of an umbrella, not that we control them, but it's a place where they can gather and
it's
talk
about. It's
like
a clearinghouse. And the thing that I've seen, because I went to all the meetings, it's almost more of a word of mouth type thing. I got a guy who's got it. Oh, well, I've got a guy in my group then who can help him. I mean, there's such synergy amongst you guys. It was incredible.
Right. So that's what we try to build. And, you know, I try to cooperate with all the groups. And so what I'm hoping to be able to do is create an agreement with Gail and Veterans First where we can help and put people in and like pay for the first two or three.
That's phenomenal.
Get them in there.
And awesome. Tim, I think I think what you're doing, having this Fox Valley Veterans and overseeing it. I mean, you're a good guy. You got a lot of integrity. You're dedicated to it. But some people, there are a couple scams out there too. And I think people were hurt by that. And you give money, and then all of a sudden you read this article. It's like 60 or like
the one guy taking his secretary to the Bahamas for a month.
Less than 20% went to where we wanted it to go. You know,
yeah,
and now
it's not like that with this.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think that's great that you have these veteran organizations and you got this umbrella and you really know what they're doing and what kind of impact they're making.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that happens all the way around. I can tell you, you know, as far as the organization goes, we have a public meeting every month. Anybody can come. I brief my financials every month. So, I mean, We open it up to the public. They can come. We obviously file our 990 every year. I think we're just around 80% of our money goes to the programmatic.
Terrific.
Program. But the other thing we do is we have the ability to what we say vet the vets.
Yeah.
And so unfortunately, yes, you're right. There's some stealing honor out there. There's some people out there who just aren't honest. And we have a great organization. I have five volunteer caseworkers. I have a case manager. We have connections with all the county veteran service officers. And my experience in the Army allows me to read the discharge papers and talk to the county veteran service officers and know whether we actually have a real veteran out there. And so that's something everybody can feel good about, that they know the money is going to go to the vet, but it won't go directly to the vet. It's going to go to the creditor. Right.
Oh,
but another thing that is really cool about your thing, your experience as a lawyer in the military really puts you as an authority on a lot of situations. Tell a little bit about your background as an attorney in the military.
Yeah. So I was originally just commissioned. I contracted in 1983, got commissioned in 1987. And then the Army decided in its infinite wisdom to send me to law school. And then I got a letter at law school saying, hey, man, you've been branch transferred to the JAG Corps. I'm like, what the hell's the JAG Corps? I just thought they're sending me to law school and I might have a degree. That was kind of cool. So I'd already been through jump school and stuff like that. So I was really lucky. I got in the Army at that time period where I could hang out with a lot of airborne troops, special forces stuff, because not a lot of lawyers had wings on their chest. And I got to do that for a very, very long time, which is really cool. I love doing that because, you know, you kind of get to go play soldier every once in a while and then go hide behind your desk when you need to.
Can you tell the sniper story?
Oh, well, okay. When I was in Iraq, we had some bad guys who liked to shoot over the wall, right? And so I'm coming back at 2 o'clock in the morning one day, and, you know, the fawns from the palm trees start falling down and you start hearing, woo, woo. I'm like, oh, okay. I ditched my bike. By the way, I'm riding a bike with, you know, like a reflective vest on because that's what they wanted us to wear, which made you a pretty easy target, I think. But they didn't want us riding bikes on post without being seen.
And you're just doing that to work out, basically, right?
Well, where I lived was about probably a mile and a half, two miles from where work was. So it was a long little hike, you know. So I got to be old, beat up bike when I ride my bike back and forth to work. It was called Camp Victory, and you know, I dumped my bike and rolled into a sewer ditch. And so that was fine for about 45 minutes hanging out there till that went away. But, you know, in the end, you know, we had some counter sniper stuff going on. And, you know, they call up and say, hey, sir, you want to come see? Because we found the guy. They took the shot and got the guy. Now my nights were going to be a lot more peaceful going home.
Got back on your bike. Wow.
That happened to me on the trail the other day.
Oh, man.
Camp Victory was a unique place. I stayed a week there outside of Baghdad, right by the airport. Did you go out right Route Irish?
Oh, every day I was on Route Irish.
You were not.
Yes, I was. Yeah. So
How did you not get hit?
We did get hit a few times. You know, I was in charge of the rule of law in Iraq. So my job was to go find judges and cops and set up judicial conference centers and start the whole process back up in the country again. So I kind of ran around doing that.
Okay, you can stick around. We're going to send it to a break.
Sure.
I want to talk about that. That's a very dangerous job in Iraq at the time. Because I remember when I first went over to Commander Kelly had just gotten killed. And he had been meeting with the locals. And they had bombs planted inside the walls. I mean, that was a very dangerous thing. Civil affairs is one of the most dangerous, underrated jobs in the military. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. You're out there right there with the locals.
We get set a quick break. Tim Cote, Fox Valley Veterans, back right after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Friday morning. Great event coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be a part of this. The Cottage Court Village fundraiser for veterans. Food trucks, arts and crafts, performances, raffles, booyah auctions, family fun. Jarts and I just realized, have to do a hula hoop contest.
Oh, cool.
Who are you putting your money on?
Anybody but you.
Yeah, okay. Jarts. So I'll be emceeing this. Ron and Mike Music Company will be there. Bill Jarts, of course. Mickey Grasso. Kenny Yonke tribute shows. And the Packerettes are going to be there. So that'll be pretty cool. So
a hula hoop contest, that could be over in seconds.
Yeah. It goes from 10 to 3 tomorrow. 2330 Meadow Park Drive, Alloway Avenue at the 9th Street Wellness Center. It's going to be a great event. Once again, for Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin.
And we are with someone who has given his life really to the military. I'm just sensing from you that you enjoyed your 30 years.
I loved it.
Yeah, I can tell that.
If I could still be in the Army, I would be.
Isn't that great? I mean, some people...
Was it because of your injuries you had to get out?
Yeah, I mean, I got beat up. I got, worn down. And you get to a point and the Army looks at you. And, I was having to take a substitute PT test and... You know, they'd put me in the recruiting command, which I was very unhappy. I'd been with troops my whole life, and now I was with a recruiting command, which nothing against the recruiters or anything, but that's not where I wanted to be. I kind of made my disgruntledness known, and, they said, well, you can retire.
But then
you ain't going to a unit.
Right.
But you found your way to get your niche.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah, you have good energy. I can see that you liked your 30 years, but you're liking it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very challenging now. I'm working, I think, in any charity across the board can just be very, very challenging because it's just nonstop.
I'll tell you something else. Jim and I always talk. We both have this one quality for good or bad, and I know you have a really good BS meter. Don't you?
Hopefully, sometimes you get taken, but.
Yeah, but mostly, and then you're raising money. I mean, we spent a tremendous amount of time, not tremendous, but we spent a lot of time raising money, right? And they're all good, right? I mean, 99% of the things out there are good, and it gets a little bit competitive, and you got to state your case, And someone who's lived it, like you, I would think means a lot, but I always tell people who help with the fundraising that, I went and saw so-and-so, they said no. I'm like, did they say no or hell no? Because sometimes you got to go back.
Yeah, I mean, there's all different ways to do that. I've seen people act like the cold call salesmen, right? They just figure if I talk to 200 people, I'm going to get 10 yeses.
Just mathematically.
Mathematically, I'm going to get it, right? You know, the way I do it is I kind of go out. My first ask is never for money. My first ask is, where is your vet that needs help? That is always my first ask because that is my mission. And so after that, you know, most of the time the conversation will go, well, how do you raise money? And I look at them, I go, from your pockets.
Any way possible.
It would be very helpful if you could reach in there right now. I have a contest with my community engagement manager when we go and talk little groups, like how much just cold hard cash can you come back with? You know, like, so look, I got $100 in my pocket I just raised from people who pulled it out.
But most importantly, you make that special connection.
Right. You know, it's a personal connection. One, totally. You have to connect as the group, right? They have to trust the Fox Valley Veterans Council, first of all. And then they want to support your cause. And so why do you want to support a cause just for veterans? And I have a very simple statement for that. I, you know,